We're going to start off our service today by lighting our Advent candles. So if Liz and family would like to step forward to light our Advent candles, and then we'll carry on with the service with no further announcements.
Jesus is the light of the world. We light our four candles to remind us on the fourth Sunday in Advent we are to reflect the light and love of God in the dark world in which we live. For Jesus is that true light who gives light to all. His light shines in the darkness, but the darkness does not overcome it. Jesus is the light of the world.
The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2, 6, and 7. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his governance and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Thank you.
This reading is taken from Micah chapter 5, verses 2 to 4. The Lord says, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, you are one of the smallest towns in Judah, but out of you I will bring a ruler for Israel, whose family line goes back to ancient times. So the Lord will abandon his people to their enemies until the one who is to give birth has her son. Then his fellow countrymen who are in exile will be reunited with their own people. When he comes, he will rule his people with the strength that comes from the Lord and with the majesty of the Lord God himself. His people will live in safety because people all over the earth will acknowledge his greatness and will bring the peace. This is the word of the Lord.
This reading is taken from Luke 1, verses 26 to 38. The birth of Jesus is announced. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee named Nazareth. He had a message for a girl promised in marriage to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of King David. The girl's name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Peace be with you. The Lord is with you and has greatly blessed you." Mary was deeply troubled by the angel's message, and she wondered what his words meant. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God has been gracious to you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will make him a king, as his ancestor David was, and he will be the king of the descendants of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary said to the angel, I am a virgin. How then can this be? The angel answered, The Holy Spirit will come on you and God's power will rest upon you. For this reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. Remember your relative Elizabeth. It is said that she cannot have children, but she herself is now 6 months pregnant, even though she is very old. For there is nothing that God cannot do. I am the Lord's servant, said Mary. May it happen to me as you have said. And the angel left her.
This reading is from Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. The birth of Jesus Christ. This was how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. His mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, but before they were married, she found out that she was going to have a baby by the Holy Spirit. Joseph was a man who always did what was right, but he did not want to disgrace Mary publicly. So he made plans to break the engagement privately. While he was thinking about this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for it is by the Holy Spirit that she had conceived. She will have a son, and you'll name him Jesus, because he will give his people from their sins. Now all this happened in order to make what the Lord had said through the prophet came true. A virgin will become pregnant and have a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So when Joseph woke up, he married Mary, as the angel of the Lord had told him to do. But he had no such relationships with her before she gave birth to her son, and Joseph named him Jesus.
Our reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. At that time, the Emperor Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the Roman Empire. When this first census took place, Quirinius was the governor of Syria. Everyone then went to register himself, each to his own town. Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to the town of Bethlehem in Judea, the birthplace of King David. Joseph went there because he was a descendant of David. He went to register with Mary, who was promised to him in marriage. She was pregnant, and while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to have her baby. She gave birth to her first son, wrapped him in strips of cloth, and laid him in the manger. There was no room for them to stay at the inn.
There were some shepherds in that part of the country who were spending the night in the fields, taking care of the flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone over them. They were terribly afraid, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I am here with good news for you, which will bring you great joy to all people. This is the very day in David's town your Saviour was born, Christ the Lord. And this is what will prove to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great army of angels appeared, and the angels singing praises to God. "God be to glory in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased." Thanks to God's word.
Reading from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Next reading is from the Gospel of John, and beginning at chapter 1. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Thanks be to God.
sure whether I was coming or going then.
Actually, I think there was a difference on the people sit there, but I think there must have been seven on there. Because I alternate between
the father
and
Alan, so I'm not even saying. Okay. So I'm in the right place. Yes. Oh, yeah, I am, I know. Well, good evening. And, for any of you who were here last year and perhaps still traumatised by the experience of me starting to take my clothes off during the service, I want to assure you that nothing like that will be happening today. So you can relax and hopefully just take in something else. So, I did that talk a couple of weeks ago in Fuller. And if you remember, it ended up, I was saying you don't need this at Christmas, you don't need that at Christmas. And then he comes down and I'm taking clothes off, and there's the t-shirt that says all you need is Jesus. Did you remember that?
Yes.
Unfortunately, their worst fears were recognised when the layer above it started to pull that bottom t-shirt off as well. And so I wasn't really stripped to the waist. And I heard a few people scream, but I managed to pull everything back down on in time. And a little worse, because when we started to sing the next song, I got my head stuck in my jumper because I was trying to put my clothes back on. And I don't know if you're trying to get your head out of your sleeve when you're on, but it's not easy to do, especially when you're feeling really embarrassed. Anyway, I don't know why I'm telling you that. But today, I want you to think about how we compare things quite a lot, don't we? And how we size one thing up against something else. And I wonder if anyone can tell me the fastest land animal in the world.
Cheetah.
Oh, yes, it is a cheetah. Does anyone know how fast a cheetah can run? 78 miles per hour. Wow. Does anyone know what the slowest mammal is on the planet? Go on, Seth. It is not. Well, according to what I looked at, it is a sloth. And do you know, when I looked at that, I thought I can't see a life like that actually being a sloth. But yes, does anyone know what the largest planet in the solar system is? Go on, Seth.
Jupiter.
And now there might be two answers for the next one. The smallest planet in our solar system. Go on, Stephanie.
Mercury or Pluto?
Mercury or Pluto. That is absolutely correct, because some people count Pluto as what's called a dwarf planet and not a proper one, but they are tiny. And apparently, if you're going to compare Earth with Jupiter, that is what Jupiter would be like. And then there's a 20 pence piece. Oh, am I? There we go, sorry. A 20 pence piece would be Earth, and a football would be Jupiter. That's how small this planet is compared with the size of Jupiter. But then the largest planet that they've found is actually almost twice as big as Jupiter. Isn't that amazing? God's creation is absolutely incredible. But we compare things, and I wonder, I've got two things here. One of them I think is really nice, and one of them I don't think is very nice at all. Because on the one hand, I've got a chocolate, which I think is really nice. And on the other hand, a Brussels sprout. Yes. I mean, I know that there are fans out there of sprouts, but I'm afraid I'm not one of them. But a chocolate, very nice. Now, I wonder if I would put my hands behind my back, if there is anyone who would like to come and choose one, and you've got to have what's in that hand. Anyone like to come and try? Oh, okay.
Okay, so I'm afraid you're stuck with whichever one it is.
Not a problem.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Okay, so which hand do you think, which hand are you going to pick?
Well, you put them out like that and I'll pick, but then you can't swap them.
Okay. Okay. Are you sure?
Positive.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
You don't want to ask the audience?
I've asked the audience.
So you're going for this one?
Yes.
You've got the chocolate. Yay. Well done. Which means I'm left with the sprout. But you know, the shepherds, in the version of the of Bible that I was reading the other day, it said that, that the shepherds were living in the fields. And I'd never noticed that word before, living, that they were living in the fields. Why? Because they were poor, because they were very considered to be very lowly, and they were considered to be completely untrustworthy. They weren't, shepherds were not allowed to give evidence in a court. And yet, there they were, the shepherds were there in the field, living in the fields. And who are the first people to hear about the birth of Jesus Christ? The shepherds, who are so poor that they are living in the fields. And they are the poorest, learning about the greatest. Learning about the greatest person ever to have walked this earth had arrived. The Son of the Living God. The poorest were about to be invited to meet the greatest, that baby Jesus Christ. And I just think that's amazing. And Jesus, all through his life, he said things like, "I am the good shepherd," meaning he was going to be with us always. And he was going to care for each one of us. But the greatest came down, and the first people to meet him were the least. And what that means is that for every single one of us, Jesus has come, no matter who we are, no matter how we may feel, well, I've not done much in my life, or, you know, I've done a few bad things, and, you know, we are just the people Jesus came for. The greatest has come down for each one of us. And I think that that is amazing. And this Christmas, I want you to remember just who, that you are someone who Jesus came for. He also came for those who would be considered greater, the wise men, and everyone in between. But Jesus also said, "Blessed are the poor in heart." For those of us who feel that perhaps, so at times we feel broken, at times we feel like we've not achieved things. At times we feel we can't face things that are coming up. Not without Jesus beside us. We're exactly the people he came for. And so this Christmas, when you are having your Brussels sprouts, and I've got a spare one here if anyone would like it, just remember that you are someone who Jesus came for. And there is no doubt about that. He came especially for you. Why? Because he loves you with a love that you cannot begin to understand. Let's be quiet a moment. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came down as the greatest to come down to meet the weakest and the meekest. We thank you that you came down to save us. We thank you for your incredible love that is beyond anything that we can really take in. And Lord Jesus, we pray, open our hearts to receive you. Open our hearts to know you. Open our hearts so that we may become more like you today and every day. Amen. So we're going to sing the first three verses only of O Come, All Ye Faithful. So, Father, as we go now, we pray that you will bless us, that you will bless us with peace in our hearts, joy in our lives, in that sure knowledge of your amazing love and mercies to us. We pray that tonight you will bless us with rest in your arms, knowing that you are with us always. Amen.